Well, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, when God told me to pray for people for that, He reminded me of the hardest thing. Honestly, it was physically the hardest thing for me in the Marine Corps to do. Just because I was 128 pounds. I was a beanpole, but I was only so tall. And that was to carry another man with combat gear. I didn't look like I only weighed 128, but I did. And so they'd hit me with guys my size, and the guy would weigh 150 pounds plus 35, 40 extra for helmet, flak jacket, and rifle. And when you go to pick them up, I'm going to tell you right now, without adrenaline, that is a task. And then you got to run back 50 yards carrying them, and you're timed. I had no problem running. I could climb the ropes with my pack on, no problem, hand over hand, up and down. I could run 3 miles with combat gear on. But to pick up another person and carry them was a different deal. And we'll tell you right now, folks, this is, and it's the hardest thing for us to do sometimes, except for when it's almost too late. When we give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. See, Jesus told us these things were going to happen so that we wouldn't. There's lots of things going on right now. The devil is doing his best to stop what God is about to do. The revival that's going to come out is not a reviving of the church, so to speak. It is a casting the net and bringing in the lost souls. That is a real revival. Let's bless this tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are grateful. Father, that we are surrounded by brothers and sisters. Father, they have our back. Lord, they know what it's like. So, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness, their commitment to you. And as such, Father, I thank you for the tithe and the offering. Lord God, I bless it. At a time with unheard of inflation in our time, with things happening in the world that we never thought we would see or see again, Father, our faith is not in the things. Our faith is not in our government. Our faith is in you. Father, we know you are the only one who is worthy. Now, Lord, I bless this tithe. Bless this offerings. Lord, press down. Shake them together. Cause blessing to overbound in our lives. Father, that we may reach out into other people's lives and help them and bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. So as I was seeking the Lord on what should I do today, Father? Like, I had several messages that are going around in my head, and they're going to get preached. They have to. God said to pray for the people. Now, God allowed me to observe, watch something. And it began to move in me. My wife, she'd even started watching it. And she said, you have got to watch this. You are going to love this. Because it had a lot of history in it. Things I've wondered about, I didn't know about. And I've often wondered, like, God, what? Why? There's silliness abounding. Why do we take something that is so simple? The gospel is so simple. And we turn it into something so controlling and manipulative. And, well, she let me watch this special on the Celtic Church. It's very interesting. Especially now that I know I'm not German, that my ancestors are Celtic. Actually, from both islands. I got one from Scotland and one from Ireland. And as such, there's a lot of stuff I've wondered about. And then I watched this, and they told what took place. You know, St. Patrick. We all know about St. Patrick, don't we? Yeah, it's March 17th. Everybody goes out, drinks green beer, gets drunk, pukes, comes to work late the next day, right? I don't think St. Patrick would have had anything to do with that debauchery. I really don't. There were things I didn't know about him for sure. Didn't know that he was taken at 16, taken from his home by force and sold into slavery. He was sent to Ireland and worked for 6 years. His mama had no idea what happened to him. And for 6 years, he was a slave, unjustified slave. He didn't know anybody, anything. Somebody else just thought, I'm gonna make a dime off of you. Well, he felt the call of God. And he heard God tell him to go home. He just got up and walked away. Now, I don't know about y'all, but what I do know of slavery is they keep a pretty good eye on you about that. But yet he just walked away. Nobody came after him. Somebody bought him. But nobody came after him. And he went back. He hitched a ride on a boat. The story goes that when he went to the boat, God had showed him a boat in a vision during his prayer time and said, get up and go and get on that boat. He went to the area where the boat was supposed to be and he saw it coming in. He waited for the boat and he asked him, said, would you mind if I catch a ride back? The people that were on the boat were pagans, druids. And they asked him, have you got any money? Nope. He's a slave. Nope. Then no, we ain't giving you a ride. And he went over and he knelt and he began to pray. And the captain of the boat came over and said, tell you what, you can ride over if you make this declaration. And it was a pagan declaration, glorifying their God, not his. He said, I won't do it. Captain said, all right, get on. He went back to his family. And then 20 years later, and he was from Britain, he went back to Britain. And 20 years later, God called him back to Ireland to preach. And he began to preach. And I was often, it's really very confusing until you know certain things. St. Patrick wasn't Catholic. Oh, he was sainted by the Catholic Church, or the Roman Church, as they called it then. He was sainted by them. But he was not a Catholic. As a matter of fact, most people preach Peter or Paul, right? That's what we usually hear. Well, I don't even know who discipled him. It never did address who discipled him, because he went and he sat under somebody for like a year and a half or so learning about God. But this person took their draw from John. You know, the guy who wrote a couple books in the Bible, one of the biggest ones in the back, that we all really should have paid attention to a little bit. But see, there's a theme that I believe John has more than anybody else, and that's love. You can challenge me on it. You can go, look, John's not confusing. I've heard, oh, I don't tell people to read John. What do you want him to do? Go try to get wrapped up in the law again? Peter was with Jesus, and he kept getting caught up in it. Paul had to address people teaching circumcision and said, I wish they'd cut themselves off. Y'all do get the imagery right there, right? But Paul was a little harder for some people to understand. And I do believe Paul had some things that, because of his personality, he couldn't convey across quite as well. Because he had been Pharisee of Pharisees, right? They were used to a certain mannerism, a certain speech. And so he would talk to people in such a way. He had great authority, great revelation. You had to know the word in order to be able to have a revelation of the word. And the man knew the word. But yet, a lot of people overlooked John. The one that, even though John wrote it, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Do you know why John felt like he could write that down? Because he felt it more than anybody else. John would have been the youngest. They suspect he was about 17 when he was following Jesus. He was but a boy still. I mean, granted, in their society, 13, you become a man, but we all know, even at 18, you aren't really ready to be a man, right? If we're going to be honest, you know, we all jumped out after Alice Cooper came up with that song, 18. Yeah, I'm 18. Missed the point in what Alice said there. I'm a boy and a man. I'm still a boy. And so John felt the love of Jesus more than Peter. More than James and Andrew. John could feel the love of a father coming through the Son of God. And that's what Patrick was preaching. He was preaching love. And as he began to preach love, revival began to break out. The Irish began setting aside their false gods. And they began to serve Christ. From the time of Patrick through the time of Columba, another great man of God over in that region, shortly after Patrick, revival took place for 250 years. Communities were getting changed. People were getting saved. They found out that their little stick gods and their little stone gods wouldn't answer. The Druids had a practice. We've seen a lot of their stone rings, like Stonehenge and so forth, and there's a lot of them all over the place. And the rings in particular, they would find artesian wells, and they'd put a sacrificial stone in the middle, and you find this, the artesian wells, because everything around it is prospering. It's green. The trees are better. The grass is greener. And so they would establish those as the god, that this is a special place of gods. And so that they worshiped earth, if you did not know that. And they'd set these stones up and they'd set this altar up for their sacrifices. You need to understand something right now. Their sacrifices were children. That's who they sacrificed. Why do you think Canaan fell under such judgment when Israel came back? They were killing their babies and offering them to demons. Well, the guide that was taking him through and told him this place said Columba, and this was in Scotland that this took place. Columba was actually asked to leave Ireland, and so he went to Scotland, and he started revival there. He started revival there, and he said to get the thing going, he walked out into the middle of one of those, and their belief was anybody who was not a druid priest would be killed instantly by the gods. So they manipulated people. And he walked out there and he began to preach Christ. For 150 years, revival ran in Scotland. Many of us in here are from those areas. Our families hail. By the way, if you're from some certain Scandinavian countries, guess what? Your family found Christ because of Patrick. Because of Columba. Because they went and they preached Christ. And as they began to preach Christ, people began to get free. They saw something different. Christ was a relationship. Folks, we're talking, this all started in around the 400s. Do you understand? 400. We are in 2022. 1600 years ago. There was an evangelist, we'll call him an evangelist. Just because I've always taken an aversion to the word saint. Don't know why. I just have. Because he was an evangelist. And he went out preaching. They called him the Navigator. His name started with a B and it's already... As he preached, he would go to new lands. He'd just get in his boat. They said he didn't actually say... He sailed in a boat with only a sail but no rudder. Because he believed that God would direct his boat wherever it needed to be. Ladies and gentlemen, they have actually confirmed he made it to West Virginia. Yeah, this West Virginia. Carvings. I am going to find them maybe this year. Ancient Celtic writings from 400 A.D., they don't even speak the language, and they haven't spoke the language. His writings influenced another man we know, Christopher Columbus. But he found North America to tell people about God. In the 400s. They have confirmed that this stone, it's just a big old chunk of sandstone. Looks like chicken scratches. But it's, if you've ever been to West Virginia, you know how the stones kind of stick out. They kind of go back in, and that's where it's at. And they showed it on this video, and they went to it. And it was telling the gospel. And he went back. Wherever his boat landed, that's where he went. And he told people that were there the best he could about Christ. They prayed. God told one pastor over there, and he was actually interviewed, so it's current. God told him, he said, quit praying for revival. for Ireland in particular. He said, I heard their cry. And I will be bringing revival. You know, see, we pray for things because we're worried about them, right? We think God's not moving. David, how long will you turn your face away from me, Lord? Revival is not necessarily running on the around the church. Revival is true repentance. It's people being saved. That's revival. That's what they consider to be revival. Unfortunately, the word we use for revival means to revive. It means you were once alive and now you're dead. I don't want to ever be considered dead. I'm not going to lie. It's easy to fall into a trap of complacency, isn't it? Yeah, you know, you can do it with your spouse. You take them for granted. Get used to them always doing something. Get used to them being there. But God began to move through those people because they sought him. They sought a relationship. And as they began to preach more and more, when Columba was asked to leave Ireland because he was a bit of a warrior, he walked his post from flank to flank and took nothing from any rank. And he had a small army to prove it. But yet when he went to Scotland and he asked the king of the town, it's not even there anymore, he would go and ask for land. I would like some land in which I can start a community, a monastery. And by the way, back then the monasteries aren't what we think they are today. That's all Catholic Church provisions. He prayed for 2 years inside a cave. They took you inside the cave and they showed you the altar where he would pray for days on end. And then he started church in a cave. And people began getting saved and the church began to grow. Then the king got saved. And the king said, I will grant you your land. He gave him an island. It's called Iona. And he said, go to the island. It's all yours. Do with it as you wish. Well, they kind of did what Israel did. There were druids on the island. Don't know how they dispatched them. It didn't say. But they left. In which they began teaching people about Christ. They began living. Now, I'm not saying, listen, we're not starting a community. That's commune in our vernacular. We're not starting that. Because we are a community. That's why we have teachers and coaches, bus drivers, people in business. We have people everywhere. You have influence. But the number one thing is love. They don't care how much you know until they can see how much you actually care. And as the church began to grow, I mean, folks, some of these buildings, you can still see the buildings. Parts of the buildings are still standing. It's phenomenal. Made me want to go get a plane ticket. That's not happening right now. Unless God says, Art, I want you to go to that part of the world. I'm good right here in good old US of A. They began to preach the gospel. When that king died, the new king took over. And he continued with the faith of the Celtic Church. They called them Celtic Christians. And they began to, the whole country had become Christian. They were trying to figure out how to get England saved. Those of you who got family from England. As they sat around in council trying to figure out how should we approach England. One of the bishops said, they're hard-headed. There's no reaching those people. And one man, a young man by the name of Aiden, said, well, that's because you keep throwing meat at them. How about giving them milk? And they all had the revelation. We can't give babies meat. You got to introduce them to the milk first. And he became the saint to England. He became the preacher to England. And he got people saved. And the same thing happened there. The king got saved. He passed away. The next king took over. He was saved. They actually had Aidan appoint the kings. He anointed the kings. There's a rock, and they can take you to it and show you where the kings would go, and they would be anointed. Or I think it might be Columba. But there's a foot carved into that. That stone where they did this. And the king would put one foot in it and kneel. And the prophet would lay hands and anoint that king. And if they were a king from it, they had kings from other lands. And they would come and they'd bring dirt from their land. And they'd put it in that little bit of dirt in there. And then they'd put their foot on top of it and kneel. Ceremoniously giving their land to God. And as this all kept going, finally in England, there arose a king. He had come from the Celtic ways, but his wife had come from the Roman ways. By this time, Rome was about done, but the Roman church was not. And she was encouraging him to make the whole country one. One of the big differences was the Celtic Christians celebrated the resurrection day. Passover. That's one of the big things. The Roman church did not. They celebrated Easter. Based on a calendar. Not on actual events of anything of Hebrew. They were cutting themselves away from Hebrew. And again, I'm not saying that we need to start practicing Judaism. But there's a reason why it was at Passover, and we need to understand that, and we will have the opportunity here to talk about it. But what happened was they came together, all the bishops came, and the king is presenting, he's getting influence. Ladies, do not think you cannot influence your husband. She influenced her husband where he said, you know what? I know what I believe, but we're going to go her way. And when they did that, Celtics were kicked out. And what happened was the Roman church began to grow, and they absorbed everything. And if you don't know anything about the Catholic Church, you need to actually read it and see about it. There are things that they just absorb religions. They absorb things from other religions. In the Vatican, there's a statue. It's supposed to be of St. Peter. It's the one that they have kissed it so many times, the feet are falling off. It's bronze. But this is supposed to be a statue of Peter. First off, I think if Peter were alive, come down and smack him. But the problem is, it's not really of Peter. It's of Zeus. They absorbed it. And they brought it in. And I'm not saying everybody in the Catholic Church is wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I think, honestly, if we look, let's quit practicing stupidity. What does God say? And that's where I believe John. I believe, honestly, when I was hearing that, the Spirit of the Lord was telling me, that's why I called you the way I did. I lean more towards John. Oh, I'd like to jump in with Peter and Paul. Whip people into shape. That's not even what Jesus did. And Jesus only did that to the religious hardheads who would not get it, who would not understand. This is not what my house is for. It's for prayer. Folks, I believe a true revival is coming. But it's going to come because we're not basing ourselves on, oh, by the way, that was the other huge difference. The Roman church said, you have to live this life. These are the rules. Now, we know we need to live holy lives, right? They all taught it. Jesus taught it. Live a holy life. But the Holy Spirit's supposed to be the one convicting us of sin. The Word says that if we know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. That's it. If God tells me to stop and help my brother change his tire in a pouring rainstorm, and I just drive on by splashing him, and I go to church, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I thank you that I don't run around with my wife, I don't get in drunken fights on Saturday nights. God says, wait a minute, I told you to do something good, and you didn't do it. That is sin. That's what the Celtic church was teaching. The Catholic church is the one that sainted Patrick so that they could get the rest of the Celts involved. There are still people living the faith the same way because they have the writings. We're watching a world that's coming unglued right now. We don't know who to trust. We don't know who to believe. Well, CNN says this, Fox said that, ABC said this. Who cares? What does God say about it? Don't worry about it. I told you before, there was going to be wars and rumors of war. Do you know what rumors are? That's the part we've always missed. We always say, oh, they're telling, they're about wars. Rumors are lies. Scuttlebutt. Gossip. It's something that's not happening. But yet people tell you they are happening. Now, we do know that there's a war happening in Ukraine. By the way, you want to know who's helping fight that? We are. The Ukrainians are reporting the missiles are falling. Tanks are running out of gas. And by the way, I think I told you last week, even the men said, we were lied to. We weren't told we were invading Ukraine. We have family there. We don't want to kill them. So when they ran out, they were just trying to get away as far as they could. When they ran out, they opened things. I got a feeling they probably started dropping their battle gear and stuff on the ground and went and stole some clothes off the lines and tried to blend in. But it's happening because the people of God are praying. We need to continue to pray. That is why the Antichrist can't fully be revealed, I do not believe. I believe we will have an idea. The Bible says in Revelation 18, or 13, 18, said this is wisdom. He who has wisdom, let him calculate the number of the beast. His number is a man's number. It is 666. It's a calculation, I believe, of his name. And it is not Caesar. People have tried to come up with that years ago. But he can't even reveal himself until we're gone. That's how much power we yield. We have in our hands the power that can move those mountains, the power that can stop the mighty Russian bear, the power that can stop the great dragon of the East. They can't do it yet because we have the keys. This month, just so you know, we decided to sow the tithe of the church into one place. We sent it to Samaritan's Purse for Ukraine relief. We usually split it up about 3 or 4 different places, but this month we felt it needed to go to one place, and that was to help Christians and innocent people get out of there. And I spoke with Pastor Bob Montgomery, and he was telling me about Luda, because Luda actually works for him over there. And he said that her family, and they got out. They got out of Kiev, and they are on their way to Vienna because Poland is full. Poland is struggling right now to take care of what they're letting as many in as they can, because they understand what occupation is about. And if anybody's still on the fence about whether, you know, we should be able to defend ourselves with the Second Amendment, let me tell you something. Zelensky showing up out there and being all brave or whatever he's trying to do, I think it's kind of foolish. He's the leader of the country. You get killed, who's to say that your vice or whoever isn't just going to lay down and say, oh, here you go, Putin. Here's my country. Keep me as supreme leader. We won't fight you. But when you don't give people the opportunity to defend themselves, and now suddenly you need them to, that is what happens. That is why I'm pro-Second Amendment. Oh, besides my background. But understand, we are part of this. There's a revival that's starting. It's not going to be a big television event. I don't want it to be, I'll be honest with you. Whenever they become big televised events, it becomes a show. It loses what it started out with. I would rather see the drunk come crawling up to the altar, crying. The woman who's unfaithful to her husband. The children who are on drugs. That's who I would rather see. I don't need to have Hollywood videotaping it so we can sell the videos. No, that's, we need to stop this. I'm all for prosperity in God. I really am. I'm all for the power of God. But the power of God is not for sale. We forgot that. It is not a sideshow. We forgot that. By the way, you want to know what really caused 250 years of revival? The power of God. One thing the Catholic Church took away from the common man. Do you know regular Catholics really can't pray for people? You have to go to a priest. They aren't even encouraged to read their Bibles. That'd be like me telling Matt, okay, Matt, I want you to go hunting, and not give him the rule book. You know there's rules, right? I mean, you've hunted since you were littler. I don't know how much littler. I've known you this tall. Since he was a little boy, there's always been rules. You can do this, you can't do that. Well, the Catholic Church says, we don't want you to read the Bible. You know what happens? People like Luther get hold of it. By the way, Luther followed Peter, or Paul. Got more into the kind of authority of it. And you actually need all three. There's absolutely nothing wrong. But if I'm going to lean one way, it's going to be towards John myself. And that was something that one of the people on that video said. She was from Scotland. She's encouraging believers that were watching this. It was, by the way, it's on ExploreFix, Flix. I think it's .com. But this woman said, you need to know your DNA. Come home and know your DNA. I thought, well, Lord, if you send me there, I know why I'm going. Because you got something for me. But right now he's not sending me because he's already stirred it in me. The woman said, this is a part. Let me just see it real quick. I forget who all. How many people have Scottish, Irish, even British lines? Okay. Now, the Phillips and like I said, they even said Scandinavian countries over that way because they still have pilgrimages from the Scandinavian countries come over. When the Vikings started getting saved, the kings would actually ask to be buried on that island of Iona because it was a holy place. They didn't want to be buried in their own country. They said, bury us here. And so they did. There are Viking kings buried off the coast of Scotland on an island because of God. But anyhow, they said, the woman that was talking, she said, the Celtic people, they're a gritty group. They don't always play by the rules that you want. They will fight. She said, if you don't think they will, watch Braveheart again. She said, they will do what needs to be done. And as I've thought of how many great ministers of God have started up in England in those areas, and they've come forth, and they've preached the word. Miracles took place. To become a saint, you've had to have verified miracles. It's garbage. You know, Morgan. I mean, I've known Morgan since she was little. School teacher, ball player, coach, mama, wife. In God, she has the same power and authority I do. She can lay hands on somebody and they will recover. That is what God was about. People began to believe and trust, and God began to move and show who he was. We're going to see God moving. But I'm going to tell you, it takes you to hold on. When I prayed for these people up here today, I need you to understand, I understand what it's like. God, I can't take another wave. I just can't take it. Yeah, but he can. You have to hold on. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 tells us that if we will hold on, we will reap. If we don't faint, we will reap. In this country in particular and around the world, I got to be number one. I got to be first. Let me tell you something right now. That is not the body of Christ. Because the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The last one picked to play dodgeball. God says, you're first. The first one is picked. Yeah, you know it. You know, you're last. You're the one at the end. I understood that, especially when it came to basketball. Like I said, I didn't grow until the eighth grade. And I was that tall. I was not real big. I was 50 pounds in the fifth grade. Some of you have little guys that are knocking on that door that are six. I was 10. I was 75 pounds in junior high. I carried that on my back with my body armor in my pack. I was never picked first for basketball. I don't know why. Maybe it's because everybody else, I was under their armpits. So I went home and I practiced in the dirt. I wore the grass out. I practiced my shots. I may not be able to get up in close, but I got better a little further away. Still wasn't picked, but it didn't matter to me. I knew I could make the shot. But I was never picked last for dodgeball. You know why? Because it's about how many people you have left on the team, right? When you're that tall, it's harder to hit you. They're quicker. Don't take as long to drop to the floor. And big tall guys that were already 6 foot tall, you got 6 feet to drop. I only had three. But God is not about a competition with us. Paul gave the analogy of running a race to win it for us. It doesn't matter when you cross, Clint. It doesn't matter when I cross. It's whether I cross. I have to finish the race. And that was the thing that we constantly were pushed to. When we would go on these, especially the I told you about the run with all of our battle gear on. It was no joke. You had to carry your weapon like this. You know what that does to your breathing capabilities? You're dying after 100 yards because you can't pump your arms. And you got to run 3 miles like that. It wasn't the fact that we did it like we did in tennis shoes. It was the fact that we finished. Now, I'm not going to lie. I did figure out that at some point they didn't dock you, nor did they actually care that you carried it at port arms. You just weren't allowed to hold it by the carrying handle. And when I found out that, I put it in my right hand and carried an 8-pound rifle in one hand so I could breathe. So I could finish. It's about finishing. Not matter what, doesn't matter if you crawled across that finish line. It's about whether you got across it. And that's what we need to remember. I want us as we go out this week to remember to be praying. Be sensitive and praying for people. When some, you know, how many times have you been in a day and God just drops a name or somebody's face into your mind? Do you know what that is? It's Him telling you to pray for them. Wait, you mean God's been talking to me? I thought He actually used words. Not all the time. He wants you to be sensitive to know. Hey, you know, when you see Tim's face, pray for him. When I bring up Tim's name, pray for him. When I see Angela's name, I'll pray for her. I don't know why, but I need to pray for her. You don't need to know what you're praying for. That's the miraculous thing. It's none of your business. It's none of you. Let God move miraculously through them. Because here's what I believe will happen. When you were thinking about quitting, God might let you, and this is what I'm kind of hoping we'll get ideas of, we'll see why He put them on our heart to pray for them right then, because they were about to quit. Don't quit. Get up. Fight another day. And I tell you what, if you feel like quitting today, do one thing for me. Give it to tomorrow. And if you still feel the way, same way, I'll quit with you. Some of you don't know the story, so I will tell you. A friend of mine who fought in Korea and into Vietnam went to Ranger School in the Army. And in Ranger School, he had a buddy. And it's hard. It's no joke. These specialty warfare schools are no joke. And the guy was ready to quit. My friend said, I'm not. He said, but I tell you what, give it to tomorrow. And if you still feel the same way, I'll quit with you. A couple days later, he says, I'm quitting. Don't quit today. Give it till tomorrow, and I'll quit with you. The man retired as a colonel. Also the colonel of that school. Because he didn't quit. Don't quit before your miracle comes to place. We always say this, and if you've never experienced it, you need to get up before dawn. It is darkest before the dawn. Every deer hunter in here knows that. Suddenly you can't see. But then the sun starts breaking over the hill or the trees, and you start seeing shapes again. And if you're a deer hunter, you get excited. And you see mystery deer running around all over the place. But as a child of God, understand something. When you start seeing that sun rise, that means God's on the scene. He didn't forget about you. He didn't turn his face away from you. He just needed you to hold on for 5 more minutes. All right, let's stand. I guess I forgot to do the announcements, but if you need to look at them, there's a little blue paper you got. Read it. Yeah, membership. If you're wanting to be a member, you need to let us know so we can prepare the papers for it. And next Sunday? Next Sunday at 4. Yep. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful for the preachers, the believers that have gone on before us. Lord, for their faith, for the fact that they stood the ground, they preached your love, they taught people about you. Lord, we will hold. We will hold. Father, we will not quit. We will never say die. Father, we will hold on as long as you need us to hold on. Father, I do pray for strength. I pray for that supernatural strength that you can give, that only you can give. As you bless your people, the ability to fight, the ability to continue to love even when they've been wronged. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this body, what you're doing in this village, this county, state. Lord, even what's going to happen in this country. Father, we are grateful, but Father, we do pray. As we press in, Lord, that your power is poured out. Lord God, that people will come. Bondages will be broken. Principalities will be brought down. Strongholds will collapse. And now, Father, I thank you for these people today. Lord God, bless them. Cause this word to stick with them, Father. The little bits that I know is more of a history lesson, but sometimes we can learn as much from that as an hour of preaching. So, Father, I pray that you bless them. Cause that grit to get hold of them and to hold on. In Jesus' name, amen.